Take your Bibles now, go to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 144. Psalms 144. We'll read the first four verses this evening responsively. Psalms chapter 144. Beginning in verse number 1, we'll read through verse number 4, and then we'll read the last verse of this chapter together as well. Psalms 144, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away." Let's now go to verse number 15, the same chapter. We'll read this together. Ready? "Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we truly thank you for what's transpired here today. Lord, thank you for the lives that have been touched. Lord, the presence of your Holy Spirit here. Now, Lord, once again, we're gathered. Lord, may tonight just not be another ritual service that we sit through as a child of God, but Lord, may it be a service that, Lord, we look to get something from your word. Lord, please speak to our hearts. Lord, encourage and teach us, Lord, how we can better serve you by helping others that we come in contact with this week. Fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power now as he preaches. May we yield to that same Holy Spirit as we listen. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them tonight. This passage starts off in Psalm 144, talking about God being our strength, teaching our fingers and our hands to fight. He's being our fortress, that's a defensive place, our high tower, a deliverer, a shield. It doesn't sound like when you need all those things, you're in good events, does it? If you're to the point where you're about ready to do battle, you're not having a good day, are you? Then God says in verse 4, "Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away." It's talking about we're only here for a little time. But then, verse 15, this is the sermon tonight. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Now, the word happy is not the word joy. Joy means a good attitude while things are going bad. But God said you can be happy. The happenings, even though they're bad, you can be happy while everything is bad. Sorry. Now, keep your Bible open. I'm going to talk for a few minutes and then we'll jump back into the Bible. I'll be honest with you. I struggle to understand why God's people are not happy. I have no concept as to how God's people can walk around this life sad, depressed, bitter, angry, upset, etc., etc. I grow weary of people who seem to say, "Well, I've tried Christianity and I've tried the things of God, and it's just not for me. It didn't get any better." Guess what? I know we're all sinners. No nail prints. I know we face battles. I know we face opposition. I know there are circumstances that are bad due to sin. We face problems. We face all these things. But I also know what God says. God says, "Happy is the people whose God is the Lord." Now, listen to me very carefully here. I know people die. I buried my own mother. I preached her own funeral right here, December 16th, standing behind this piece of wood. I understand death. I know people hurt. I know people are forsaken. But can I tell you something? God didn't die and God didn't forsake you.
That's right.
I know bad things happen. I know diseases come. I know word comes and it's cancer. But can I tell you something? God's not sick. God's still alive. God's still well. And God said, I don't care the circumstances. Happy is the people whose God is Lord. If God is your Lord, why don't you tell your face? How about we get our attitude fixed by God? Psalm 144 says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. If you are a child of God, you have no excuse not to be happy. None. I don't have to die and go to hell. I don't have to be judged for my sins. Thank God. I'm really thankful I don't have to be judged for Brother Mike's sins. I get to live forever in heaven someday. I'll walk streets of gold. I'll see my mother. I'll see my family who've gone before. I'll see my friends and my preacher friends who have gone before. I'll see the great people from the Bible that are there. Hey, I have nothing on this world that I'm going to miss. Trust me. How could I not be happy? With all that awaiting, how could I not be happy? I know it's cloudy. And that gives me a right to be down today. Really? There's no sunshine out today and you have a right to be upset? Depressed? Well, we've had 3 days in a row, preacher. Yeah, and you're the same person that's going to complain because it's 100 degrees and no rain for 4 weeks. Not everything is exactly as I want it. No kidding. Isn't that life? If you're over 25 years old, life didn't go the way you thought it was going to go. Amen? Trust me. I know you had your life all planned out. How many of you, your life has happened exactly the way you planned it? No takers? It doesn't work out that way. Bad circumstances or bad health issues. Guess what? We're sinners. We're going to have those things. And you're going to get upset because you don't feel good? Now, I'm not saying jump up and down because you barfed your guts out, but you don't have to be discouraged because people are sick. Thank God Brother Jimbo was here this morning. Got cancer. Stage one, they're going to cut his guts open and pull some cancer out and redo his stomach and intestines and put him back together. And he said, praise God, preacher. He said, what little hair I have, I'm not going to lose. They're not doing chemo. They're going to do surgery instead. I said, good. I said, when they're in there, can they take some orneriness out? He said, now, wait a minute, preacher. Why do Christians act so sad? Who cares about the latest news? Who cares about the stupid things the president's saying or considering? You know, let's pack the court. He said 1983 is the stupidest thing we could do. Let's just use his own words against him. Amen. And you let him talk long enough, he doesn't remember what he said. Why do we read the news and get all upset? You didn't believe him before. Why do you believe him now? Right. Some of you wonder why you're not sleeping well, because you read too much news or watch too much news. Amen. I know we have to live down here on earth. You're correct. But we also get to live forever in heaven. We have eternity awaiting us. We all face bad and difficult things. But we all have God too. We all face consequences for sin. God didn't promise to stop the consequences of your sin. I'm going to go to my grave saying this. I am so sick and tired of Calvinism creeping into all religion and preaching in our world today. God does not control every circumstance in life. Did you hear that? God doesn't control it. He didn't sin. We did. He said he'd work all those things out for good. And he didn't say it would always work out for our good. He said, all things work together for good. He didn't say that it would be for our good. You say, well, Brother Jimbo got cancer. Must be God's will. Show me that in the Bible. Yeah. God's will was that nobody sin and we live forever here on earth. Guess God didn't get what he wanted, huh? So, everybody doing okay? Hang on here. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, tell your face in your soul. Let's look at why we can be happy if we have God as our God. Number one, false gods will not make you happy. You say, preacher, that's kind of strange. No. Have you noticed how unhappy the Muslims are? Just think about it. Terrorism, jihadism, the Nation of Islam, the jerk in D.C. that crashed into the barriers and shot one of the D.C. police officers at the Capitol building here a couple weeks ago. He was from the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan. Man that I preached about 4 or 5 months ago and told you he's part of the reason and part of the forerunning of the Antichrist. I used his very name. Everybody doing okay? No. They're real happy people, aren't they? Let's put bombs on people and strap it to their chest and let them blow everybody up. Boy, that sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? Sounds like a group of happy people. That sounds like a church I want to get involved with. No. Have you ever seen how violent and nasty the Muslim religion is? Don't believe the lie that it's a peaceful religion. I'm going to make a statement. Do you know who the peaceful Muslims are? The ones that pay for the ones that blow themselves up. Brother Greg's scratching his head and laughing. He knows exactly what I'm saying is true. It's not a peaceful religion. Have you ever seen the Buddhists in Japan? These are people that cut themselves and crawl through glass and broken things and mourn and all kinds of crazy things. They're not happy people. The Hindus from India. The Hindu religion is one of the most populated religions on earth. They're not happy. I mean, they believe they come back as cows. They can't even have a holy cow. They don't eat beef because they think grandma and grandpa and their relatives are the cows. I'm sorry. I'm eating beef, amen? They can eat all the goats and not use toilet paper and all the other things they do, but praise God, I thank God for God being my God. Amen? Then you got your, what I call the green people. Your people that that really believe that Mother Earth, the tree huggers. It amazes me, people will spend time in jail for abusing a puppy, but we can murder babies and it's legal. I'm not for hurting a puppy dog or a cat, but may I say something? What about murdering babies? Why is that okay? Why is it okay to murder a human life, but you're unkind to an animal and you're going to spend time in jail? These are the people that worship plants. Now, if you choose to be a vegetarian, God bless you. You know what the Indian definition of a vegetarian is, don't you? Bad hunter. Yeah, buddy. God told Peter, arise, kill, and eat. Amen? And I'm for it. Now, if you want to eat tree bark and drink swamp water and you think that's going to help you, God bless you. I'm not eating tree bark and drinking swamp water. If you believe everything all natural, but I'm going to tell you this, the average natural store is filled full of weeds, which are a result of sin. And the God cursed the very earth that grows everything that you're putting in your body. It's not as healthy as you think it is. You say, well, it didn't come out of a laboratory. It came out of the same ground you got your plants. Sure. I hate to disappoint you. I don't care if you take it in a pill or if you eat it in a plant or drink it in a smoothie. I haven't tasted for 5 months. I can put anything down the pie hole right now. Amen. my wife's giving me stuff she loves that I hate. I can even eat it right now because I can't taste it. Wait a minute. Why are these false religions not happy? Voodooism. You talk about people that aren't happy. Can I tell you why? They have no hope. They have no hope. Everything that they have, religiously speaking, is based on sinful man. That's enough to not give you any hope. I'm talking about humanists. Humanism is a religion being taught in our public schools. That man is his own God. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. You say, what do you mean? Humanists are not happy. People like Antifa, BLM, political correct people, the rainbow alphabet soup people, you know, the LGBTQ, MICKEYMOUSE crowd, the people that don't know which bathroom to use crowd, the higher education people that are propagandizing. It's amazing how we're supposed to be so smart and junior hires and senior hires can't even read. The religious world. I'm not talking Christianity, I'm talking religion. They're not happy people. You know, have you ever seen the Pope smile? It's rare to ever see a Pope smile. He doesn't look real happy. I guess I wouldn't either if I had to wear a $500,000 grapefruit on my head and dress like a mommy. Wear a dress everywhere. I wouldn't be real happy either. Can I tell you something? The world's religion and man's religion doesn't make anybody happy. It doesn't. By the way, when you choose to be your own God, you won't be happy either. So, let God be true and every man a liar. And God says in verse 15 of Psalm 144, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. By the way, he's talking about Jehovah God. Amen. Can I tell you something? We can be happy. Doesn't matter what's going on anywhere else, we can be happy. You say, how do we do that, preacher? Glad you asked. He gave us an outline in Psalm chapter 145. I'm sorry, Psalm 146. I can't even read my own handwriting. Psalm 146. And I'm excited about this. Look at verse number 5. Psalm 146, verse number 5. Happy, oh, there's that word again, isn't it? Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Remember back in verse 15 of Psalm 144? Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. God says here in Psalm 146 exactly how we can be happy no matter what the situation is. I'm going to give you 13 things and I'm going to run through them. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on any of these 13 things. They're in the 6 verses that we just read and we'll look at them very quickly here. First of all, God says, God is the one who gives us hope. Look at verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. Can I tell you something? If you have God, you have hope. Amen. I don't care how grave it is. If you have God, you have hope. Right. As soon as I got back from church this afternoon, I changed my shoes real quick and took my tie off. I grabbed a little booklet and I ran across the street to my neighbor whose son just passed away this morning. He stepped out his door, put his arms around me, put his head on my shoulder, and began to weep. He said, "Pastor, you may be the one true friend I've ever had in my entire life." He said, "You care more about me than most people I've ever met in my entire life." I said, "That's what friends and neighbors are for, my friend." Can I tell you something? He said, "He got saved." I said, "Good." I said, "Thank God for a place called heaven." You know, this is my Catholic neighbor. This was one that asked me when he dies that even though he's going to be buried at the Catholic church, that he's told his wife that I'm supposed to speak and give the plan of salvation at a Catholic church. That's going to be fun. Show up for that one. I might need reinforcement, amen? Yeah, sell tickets afterwards. Can I tell you something? This world lives in fear because they have no hope. They're afraid of a virus. They're afraid of, well, that's all we have to live for. The Bible said skin for skin. Yea, man will give all that he hath for his life. We have the hope of eternity. You know what the worst thing about things can be? We stay here. I was talking to a lady this weekend. I told her about my mom passing and her daughter. She had a special needs daughter that was probably in her 40s that passed away in the last year. And I said, "Isn't heaven a wonderful place?" We talked for a moment. And I said, "I know you miss your daughter." I said, "I know I miss my mom." I said, "But I told my dad this before he left. And he said the same thing to me. If I could bring my mom back and she had to live the way she was living, I wouldn't bring her back. She was suffering too much. As much as I miss her, she's having too much fun. She's walking. She didn't do that down here. She's standing straight up. I haven't seen my mom stand straight up and walk in years. Matter of fact, she's probably running. Her shoulders don't hurt. Her knees don't hurt. She's got real knees now. Her feet don't hurt. Her back don't hurt. Nothing's hurting. She's having time of her life. Why would I want to bring her back? Do I miss her? Oh, terribly. But my hope is in God. And I know where she's at. And to those of us who have God, we have the hope of eternity. We have the hope that we'll see them again. God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that you have abideth faith, hope, and charity. God puts hope right in the same categories he puts faith and love. That's pretty high up there, isn't it? No wonder the world's so messed up. Is all they have is what's here. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Guess what? We're going to blow this popsicle stand one of these days. So God says one reason to be happy is God gives us hope. Number two, he's the creator. Look at verse 6. Which made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Guess what? We have the creator of the universe on our side. Global warming, preacher. No, it's called climate change because they can't get it right. Everybody remember back in the 70s and 80s, they were talking about an impending ice age?
Right.
Now we're going to burn up. Bill Gates is spending millions of dollars to send chalk dust to space to cover the sun to cool the earth. Well, blow your chalk dust wherever you want to blow it, Mr. Gates. You really think chalk dust is going to cool the earth? You know, it shows how stupid people really can be. The world is not going to destroy itself. Now, God will burn the world up.
That's right.
But that's at least 1,007 years away.
Yes.
We're not going to run out of clean water. The ozone layer is not going to burn people up. What a mess. We have global warming. The COVID came because of global warming. Then they said the earth actually cooled down because of COVID, because everybody was quarantined and there wasn't enough carbon dioxide emitted, and the earth actually cooled. So the answer to global warming is, let's put everybody back to work. It's out there. Look at it. They don't even know what they believe. Coffee's bad for you. Coffee's good for you. Me not having coffee is bad for everybody. But let's face it. They can't even get their own science straight. So we didn't evolve. God made the heavens and the earth. Now, number three. God says he keeps truth forever. Look at verse 6 again. Which keepeth truth forever. Can I tell you something? John 17:17 says, thy word is truth, O Lord. Guess what? He will preserve it forever. Amen. We have the word of God as it was given before the foundation of the world. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to have an every word Bible somewhere. It's the King James Bible, just so you know. And guess what? He not only said he gave it to us, he will keep his word forever.
Amen.
God doesn't lie. God will keep his word. God will do what he said he would do. I've said this at a few funerals recently. I said the first time at Sarah's wedding down in Georgia, my wife said, honey, I don't think I ever heard you say that. And I've used it several times since. The very God that promised Jesus would come at Bethlehem's manger is the same God said he's coming back at the rapture.
Right.
If he kept his promise the first time, what makes us think he's not going to keep it the second time?
Amen.
Guess what? He's coming back.
Amen.
If you listen to the sermon this morning, you understand a little better. So God not only gave us truth, but he said he would keep his truth. Let's not change the word of God. Let's not put it through our opinion. Let's just flop it out there as God said it, and let's let it be.
Amen.
Number next, said he'll feed the hungry. Verse number 7, which executeth the judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. Now watch this. How does God do this? He gives us work. Turn to Psalm 128, just a few pages back. Psalm 128. Look at verse number 1. I love this. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Look at verse number 2. I want to get this on every public mode there could be. For thou shalt eat of the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee.
Amen.
Giving people government handout, food stamps, and everything else is the best way to make people unhappy. Some of the most unhappy people in America today have been on the government payroll from birth.
Amen.
You don't make people happy by giving them money. Stimulus money included.
That's right.
Thomas Jefferson said, a government big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take everything you have away.
Right.
God says you'll be happy if you work. You know the best way to be happy? Work.
Amen.
Earn your living.
Right.
God gives us work. The government doesn't. The government wants to oppress you and make you dependent on the government.
Yep.
No wonder these people are protesting. God keeps the world productive. Did you know that you're not going to run out of oil?
Amen.
The earth produces oil.
Yep.
Did you know the world will never run out of gold?
That's right.
The earth produces gold.
That's right.
Say, how does that work? God put it there. He made it to work. Just like the tides are very predictable, so is everything else that God put in place in creation.
Right.
You know, we know what time sunrise is tomorrow. And you can calculate it to the very second. Say why? Because God put it in motion. And what God put in motion, guess what? It's going to work because he'll keep his word. And he said, you're happy if you work. God said, a man that doesn't work should not eat. Period. Don't get mad at me. God doesn't give welfare. He expects us to work.
Amen.
When I was up in Maine 3.5 years ago, I told Brother Chris, I said, look, you got a bunch of money sitting in a building fund, been raising money for 20 years, time to spend it, let's get this thing going. He said, well, we don't have enough to finish. I said, spend what you have, let God provide the rest. I said, if you'll live by faith, my church is proving it, if you'll live by faith, spend what you have, when you need it, it'll happen. Man, he got down, he had about $2,000 left and needed 20. He made a visit, knocked on a door. He said, you're that church that are working on that building down there, aren't you? And he said, yeah. He said, I haven't been to church in years. Hang on. And he told his wife, he said, give me a checkbook. And he wrote a check for $25,000.
Wow.
Who said so when he doesn't pay? I can't tell you how many times that happened to us. Now, not that way, but different things. Say why? Because as you work, God says, I'll bless that. And he did bless it. As you work, your food will come in. You may not have all the things you want. You might not be eating filet mignon and Chateaubriand, but meat and taters is meat and taters. Amen. You might not have the most expensive food in the world, but you're going to have enough to fill your belly. And most of us have that reverse camel with the hump on the front instead of the back. We can go a little bit without too much. So God said we can be happy because he gives us food to eat. Verse number 7 also says, who loosens us from prison? The Lord looseneth the prisoners. This isn't talking about letting criminals out on the street. Bad thing. In other words, he lets justice be complete and let people go on in life. You know, I believe somebody that's gone to jail has a right to live a life afterwards. One of the most criminal things about our system today is once somebody gets a record, it's almost impossible for them to become productive in society. And that is wrong. Old Henry Ford had it right. He said, I'll hire a convict anytime. He said he needs to work. If he was working and he was working hard, he may not have done what put him in jail. He said, if he does something wrong, he'll pay the price for it. But once the price is paid, let's put him back to work.
Amen.
Wonder why we don't do that today. Everybody doing all right? Those bound by sin can be released from it. Brother Mike, I'll use your testimony. In his words, a commode-hugging drunk, 27 years old, set a Budweiser beer can down, edge of the table, and trusted Christ as a Savior. He got released from bondage when he got saved. Now he drives a bus and bringing boys and girls to church and has seen tens of thousands of people come to church and get saved. Guess if God can release somebody from that judgment, he could help you. Isaiah 61:1 is the scripture that Jesus read in the temple to the religious world, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to loose the bondage and to loose the prisoners or them that are in prison and set captivity free. We are bound by sin. Can I tell you something? Guess what? We're supposed to take the truth of righteousness, get people saved, and deliver them from the prison of death and hell. So that's another thing. Can I tell you something? You watch somebody get saved, that's enough to make you shout, amen?
Amen.
That's enough to make you just kind of want to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. Folks, I love seeing people get saved. I enjoy witnessing. Not everybody I talk to gets saved, but guess what? Some of them do. I've seen tens of thousands of people get saved. It's exciting. Bible says in verse number 8, the Lord openeth the eyes of them that are of the blind. Not just necessarily talking about the physical eyes, but he opens our eyes to truth because we're blinded by sin.
Right.
It's amazing when people start hearing the truth, how they say, never heard that before. And the blinders start coming off and they say, I've been lied to this whole time. Yes. Yes. I talked to a Catholic man recently, steeped in Catholicism. I just simply looked at him and I said, sir, let me ask you a question. You told me you got to go through catechism and be a part of the church and be baptized and you got to do the sacraments and you got to do all these things, right? Yes. I said, okay, then why did Jesus die on the cross? For our sins? I said, if he paid for them, why do you have to pay for them? He went, oh. I said, my friend, you've been lied to. I said, if you could get it by what you do, then Jesus' coming was in vain. He said, I never thought about it that way. I said, how about we look at what God says?
Right.
Took him down the pages of scripture and watched that man bow his head and trust Jesus Christ as a savior.
Amen.
Say why? Because he'd been blinded by the bad doctrine of bad churching. Education by man is not the answer. Truth is the answer. Folks, our public school system is propagandizing our children. We lost the battle in America because of the public school system. I blame education for where America's at more than anything. Listen to me carefully. We started letting Fidel Castro and Joseph Stalin and others into our colleges back in the 50s and 60s. Preaching communism is good and capitalism is bad. Go back and look at the records. Anybody doing okay? Education by man gives you a sinful education. How about we educate with truth? Now, you know, when I went to school, 2 + 2 = 4. Now, 2 + 2 could equal 3 or 5. As long as you can reason it out, they have to accept that as an answer. How can a mama in Baltimore just recently, a couple weeks ago, she threw a fit with the school board. Her son is about to graduate with honors, and he failed 90% of his classes. And he's graduating with honors. He failed 90% of his classes in high school. She threw a fit and wouldn't let him get it. Said he needs to go back to 9th grade and start over and get a real education. Thank God for a mama with some sense. She didn't get much press because they wanted to shut her up. Next it says he raises those that are bowed down, verse number 8. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. These are people who are burdened and weak. Did you ever get bowed down because you're weak? Tired, weary. The older you get, the harder it is to keep the shoulders up for a longer period of time. These are also people that are humble. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. This humbling doesn't necessarily mean that you humbled yourself though. It could also mean that you got humbled and that's not a pleasant opportunity. If you've ever been humbled by God, unless you humbled yourself, it's probably not been enjoyable. Bible says in verse number 8, the Lord loveth the righteous. Can I tell you something? God loves righteousness. God loves the righteous people. God loves his people. I enjoy being at church. I enjoy being around God's people. I love our church. I love being here. I love being at Brother Joyard's church or Brother Drew Yard's church up in Maine. I can't say it like they do. He tried to teach it to me. I said, look, dude, I'm a West Virginia redneck. You can't get me to talk like a Maina. All right. And just give it up. It's not happening. I said, y'all talk funny. And he tried. I still couldn't do it. I just called him the preacher while I'm there. Amen. But I enjoy being around his people because they're the children of God. I can walk into any Baptist church in America that preaches like we do and feel comfortable. Brother Bill, you and your wife go to Brother C's church and thank God for it. I'm glad you're here in the evenings when you can be. But I love Brother C and his church and their families. I feel comfortable there. I found out you were coming. I called Brother C. I said, look, he's yours, not mine. I won't visit him. I said, they're welcome. Door's always open. I say, why? Because that's called being a gentleman, isn't it? Being ethical. I'll just tell you straight up, don't give your tithe here. Don't curse my church. Tithe at your church. Well, you don't hear that very often anymore, do you? Guess what? I'm not afraid to say it. You say, why? Isn't it God's work, no matter where it's at? Boy, that's good stuff. Picking up those that are bowed down. Guess what? Maybe we ought to pick up those that are bowed down. Maybe we ought to love righteous people and not get our nose stuck in the air and think that we're better than somebody. Brother Steve, you're made out of dirt. You're a bigger pile of dirt than I am, but I'm made out of dirt too. Brother Juan, you're made out of dirt. Guess what? We ought not compare dirt to dirt. Now, Brother Juan, your dirt's a little darker than my dirt, but dirt's still dirt. Why are we so worried about how clean or how dirty our dirt is? Dirt is still dirt. Period. Everybody doing okay? God wants you happy. God wants you happy that you're saved. He doesn't want you to be miserable. Did you know you don't have to be miserable and be a Christian? Oh, I'm just so miserable. I'm saved. Well, tell your face. Number next, God preserves the strangers. Verse number 9, the Lord preserveth the strangers. We are all strangers to this world. Yes. Did you know that newly saved people are strange to the church? We use terminology, it scares us bejeebers out of them. Got a new family that got saved here just, 6-8 weeks ago. They'd never been in a Baptist church like ours. This was a foreign language to them. When somebody hollered amen, it scared one of them. He said, what's that mean? He said, I thought they were mad at you. He said, I thought you were going to throw a book at somebody. I said, no. He said, the more they did, the more excited you got. He said, what's that mean? I love it. It's strange to them. It's okay. They'll be strangers too. Just make sure you take your meds. Guess what? We're going to be strange to the world. But have you seen them? They call us weird. Have you ever taken a look at the world? Next, verse number 9. God brings relief to the fatherless and the widows. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. Guess what? When God is your Lord, you have a family. It's called the family of God, whether you have a family here on earth or not.
That's right.
Miss Wally's been with us for the last 6 or 7 months since Brother Fred went to heaven. They didn't have any children. She doesn't have any living family. As far as biologically speaking. But she's got Grace Baptist Church family. People call her all the time and she'll tell them, I'm doing just fine. I'm doing great. Living at the preacher's house. We're working on getting her an apartment. Not in a hurry. Just waiting for the right thing to open up. They say, well, are you doing all right? I'm doing fine, better than I did when Fred was alive. I bet you there's been 30 people ask her that question. And every time it's, I'm doing fine. I promise you, I'm doing fine. Say why? She's got her church family around her. God takes care of those who need it taken care of. Boy, that's good stuff. Same thing for the fatherless, these bus kids. Some of these bus kids come in, they don't know who their family really is. Guess what? Sometimes the only time they hear I love you is from the people in this church. Maybe instead of getting upset because they got up and walked out and went to the bathroom during church service because they haven't been in church long enough figured out yet, guess what? Maybe we ought to love them and realize they don't have parents that know how to teach them how to act right. Now, Brother Joe works on them pretty hard in junior church. By the time they get here, they're pretty well conditioned. But just hang on there. The stress and fear doesn't have to be there when you have church family. I've heard Miss Wally say over and over, I don't know what would have happened if it hadn't been for our church. Isn't this what we're here for? Man, we got our house cleared out. Boy, that was a job. We got our household. We got our financially worked out and secure. Man, she went on a spending binge last week when I was gone. I'm going to take her checkbook away from her. Good night. Now, wait a minute. I couldn't be happier. Say why? She has security. We've been able to give her that security she's not had. That's what God's talking about here. That's enough to make you happy, amen? So, next, God turns the way of the wicked upside down. Look at verse number 9. I love this. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. It doesn't say he turns wicked people upside down. He says he turns the way of the wicked upside down. Now watch this. God will keep his ways right. It's the wicked that are going to be turned upside down. Don't follow the wicked ways. Don't follow the path of the world. They end up upside down and it's not healthy. I've got to hurry and finish. Last one. Look at verse number 10. The Lord shall reign forever. Guess what? One day, Jesus is going to run this world. Then we can say he's in charge of everything. And we will be ruling and reigning with him. Whew. Until then, let's just be happy. One day, Jesus will rule and we will reign with him. And we can endure this world's governments until Jesus does. We made it through Obama. We made it through Clinton. We even made it through Jimmy Carter. Guess what? We'll make it through Ding Dong Biden. I mean, we'll get through this. And if not, guess what? Jesus is coming and we're going to blow it.
Amen.
We're going to say, see you later. You can have him. We Christians have everything to be happy about. Let me read the verse to you. Happy is that people that is in such the case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Guess what? We don't have to walk around sad,
right,
depressed, in the mully grubs. I'm just so down. Well, get up. God showed us how to get up. He gave us 13 ways for us to get up. Let's not live down. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I don't know your need, but I promise you every person in this room needed this truth tonight. We all need it. Let's quit listening to things that pull us down and get involved in things that lift us up.